Okay. All right, we're picking up again in the first chapter of Pirkei Avos, and we are up to chapter 1, Mishnah 10, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud. The past two times we had spoken about the team, the pair of Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach, who were the Nasi, the head of the Beis Din, the Av Beis Din, his second in command in running the Sanhedrin. Again, we spoke about, you know, their need to reestablish a firm rule of law in Eretz Yisrael, particularly after the terrible massacres of the rabbis that was that were perpetrated by Alexander Yanai, again, as we described for the last 2 weeks. So in Mishnah Yud, we turn our attention to two individuals who are mentioned numerous times in Shas. Shmaya ve'avtalion kiblu mehem. The Talmidim, the students of Yehuda ben Tabai and Shimon ben Shetach, were Shmaya and Avtalion, and they, like their predecessors, were the Nasi and the Av Beis Din, again, the president and the vice president of the Sanhedrin, respectively. Who were these individuals? Who exactly were Shmaya and Avtalion? So we find numerous statements in Chazal that indicate that they were not descended from Jewish stock. The Gemara says that Shmaya and Avtalion were actually descended from Sancheiriv, of all individuals. Sancheiriv, we know, was the Assyrian king who conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and exiled the 10 tribes, you know, to the point where we still don't know where they are today. So in other words, Shmaya and Avtalion were descended from Sancheiriv. Obviously, at some point along the line, somebody was Megayer, somebody converted, you know, in order for Shmaya and Avtalion to be the leaders of the Jewish people.
One of them married a Babylonian.
What's that?
The Jewish woman married a Babylonian, so we had
it. Oh, right, I guess that's true, but the, you know, the Gemara indicates that they were B'nai Gerim. In other words, that they were, you know, that they came from this stock. You know, that there was some gerus, there was some conversion that had taken place at some point along the line. We find actually a Gemara in Masechta Yuma where Shmaya and Avtalion were put down because of their heritage. The Gemara describes how typically on Yom Kippur, after the whole avoda of Yom Kippur, after the entire service of Yom Kippur was finished, so the Kohen Gadol would go home and he would be followed home by this huge entourage. And the Gemara describes in Yuma how this huge entourage was following the Kohen Gadol home, and all of a sudden they saw Shmaya and Avtalion walking down a side street. So the whole entourage moved away from the Kohen Gadol, attached themselves to Shmaya and Avtalion, and walked them home. Because there was an appreciation that, you know, although the Kohen Gadol was the Kohen Gadol, Shmaya and Avtalion were the two Gedolei Hador. They were the great sages of that generation. So the Gemara then records the Kohen Gadol, who was a little bit miffed, said to Shmaya and Avtalion, you know, isn't it interesting how these people had the opportunity to follow a descendant of Aaron, and instead they went after descendants of non-Jews? You know, isn't that interesting now? So Shmaya and Avtalion, according to the Gemara, responded back, isn't it interesting how they had the opportunity to follow people who walk in the path of Aaron, as opposed to a descendant of Aaron who wasn't walking in the path of Aaron? And they kind of left it at that with the last word. Again, if you factor in what we know historically, the Gemara tells us that the Kohanim Gedolim during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash were basically political appointees, you know, and really were not renowned at all for their tzidkus, for their righteousness on any level, the story becomes much more poignant. Here's the guy who's technically in charge, but, you know, certainly lacks the midos that we associate with Jewish leadership. And here are two individuals who may have had less of a formal standing, but nonetheless, you know, had the attributes of Jewish leadership and were very much beloved by the people. Were Shmaya and Avtalion Gerim or descendants of Gerim? So this actually leads to an interesting discussion among the Mefarshim. Many of the early Mefarshim write that Shmaya and Avtalion themselves converted to Judaism. In fact, there's a very fascinating statement that the Abar Benel has in his commentary, Nachlas Avos, on this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where he writes as follows. Odiacho Mashiro Isi B'Sifrei Hagoyim. Says the Abar Benel, I'd like to share with you what I saw in a non-Jewish book. Yeah? Okay, right off the bat, you know that the modern version of this would probably have this line taken out, but okay. Hine manichei adosos hanimusios shelohem kosvu hanimusim vadosos sheosu chachmei haromiyim harishonim. If you read non-Jewish history, says the Abar Benel, you find that non-Jewish historians write about the early Roman wise men who set down different laws for the Roman population. V'zachru kol davar b'shem amro. And they always reference, these Roman historians always reference, you know, who instituted what law and what institution and what not. U'michlolom nizkar zeh Avtalion. And if you read Roman history, you find reference to this wise man named Avtalion. V'ha'amru alav shahaya bachur, and v'sider nimusim v'dosos rabos. They said about him in the Roman histories that he was an outstanding individual who set up all kinds of fair and just laws for the Romans. V'od hayom yesh beinayim das achas nikreis das Avtalion. To this day, there's still a certain law on the books which is called Avtalion's law. That's the Abar Benel writes. V'amru, and they say she'Avtalion zeh ozav avodas hatzlomim. Shahayu Biromi, and the historians write that this Avtalion abandoned the idol worship, which was part of the Roman culture at that time. V'holach lo levakesh dos acheres, and he went to change his religion. And that's all, says the Abar Benel, which is recorded in the Roman history books about this Avtalion. So it doesn't say in the Roman history books that he converted to Judaism, but it does describe him as a great and wise man who abandoned the Roman idolatry and went to seek out some other religion. So writes the Abar Benel, V'hu b'lisov igzan iskar b'mishna. And clearly, it makes sense to say that this is the same Avtalion, same name, same rough period of time. Chazal described, you know, him as a ger. So clearly, says the Abar Benel, the Avtalion we're talking about was some great Roman legalist and philosopher, as indicated by the Roman historical books themselves. And he left it all and went and became a ger, and ultimately became, you know, one of the Gedolei Hadar within the Jewish community. Very fascinating story told by the Abar Benel. So it's interesting, right? We don't have too many Avtalions running around. We have Shmayas. We'll talk about that in a minute, but not too many Avtalions running around. So clearly the Abar Benel takes the position that Avtalion, and I guess by extension Shmaya, were both Gerim themselves, and Avtalion had this incredible life story. He was probably a sought-after inspirational speaker, you know, with a great story. My life as a Roman legalist, you know, you can imagine what that must have been like. So clearly the Abar Benel understands, as do many of the other earlier Rishonim as well. The Rambam writes that they were Gerim and the like. The Maharal of Prague, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, Derech Chaim, raises a halachic issue with identifying Shmaya and Avtalion as Gerim. It says if you look in the Gemara indicates that a Ger, even though in almost every other way they're exactly equal to a Jew, they're not supposed to serve as a Dayan. They're not supposed to serve as a judge. And certainly to be on that level of serving as the head and vice head of the Sanhedrin, it would seem to be halachically problematic. So the Maharal writes, based on that, we must assume that Shmaya and Avtalion were not Gerim themselves, but rather they were descended from Gerim. In other words, when the Gemara says that they were descended from Sancheriv, it means that their fathers converted, their grandfathers converted, you know, they were still subject, you know, they still didn't have the Yichus to the point where they were put down by the Kohen Gadol. Ah, look where I come from, or look where you come from. You know, they were subject to that. But, you know, to say that they themselves were Gerim, says the Maharal, he doesn't think that that's correct, because how would they be able to serve as the heads of the Sanhedrin, al pi halacha? Right, so it's possible. Yeah, Avtalion 1, Avtalion 2, I guess things are possible. Yeah. Right, senior, junior, you know, could be. It's interesting. So an answer is given to the question of the Maharal. How can you say that Shmaya and Avtalion were Gerim if a Ger is not allowed to serve in a position of prominence? So the answer which is given is that the halacha does make allowances for the Ger to serve in that kind of prominent position if he's the best candidate for the position. You know, in other words, there may not have been too many other people who were in the running to become the head of the Sanhedrin. Again, based on what we know about the history of the time, that's not so unlikely, right? This was a period of time where shortly beforehand the Rabbanon had been persecuted, had been killed. You know, it was during the Hellenistic times. There was certainly a dearth of real Torah commitment and study. So, you know, Shmaya and Avtalion might have been Gerim, but also might have been the best people for the job. So the poskim write that, you know, if it's a choice between a ger who's a big Yarei Shamayim and a big Talmud Chacham versus someone who's born Jewish but lacks the Yiras Shamayim and lacks the scholarly credentials, so it's a no-brainer that the ger is on top. And as we want somebody running Klal Yisrael who knows what they're doing and is committed to Jewish values, you know, the pedigree is nice, but it's not the main thing over here. So that's the explanation which is given, you know, to respond to the criticism of the Maharal, you know, that no, maybe the Barbanel and the Rambam really mean that they were real Gerim, you know, the real deal, and they were the best people at the time to be able to step into this position. Okay, be that as it may, whether they were actually Gerim or descendants of Gerim, clearly they kind of came into Klal Yisrael from an atypical kind of position. You know, they were people who either themselves or their families sought out Yiddishkeit on their own, were inspired, and in turn really served as a source of inspiration to the people who are Yireim Ushleimim, who are really committed to Yiddishkeit within Klal Yisrael. There's a very beautiful explanation for the name of Avtalion, which is given by the Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura, one of the classic commentaries on the Mishnayos. He writes that Shamati, I've heard that Mipnei Shahoya Avtalion Av Bezdin Nikra B'Shem Zeh. Right? So Avtalion, because he was the Av Bezdin, was given the name Avtalion. That wasn't his given name. What does Avtalion mean? So the Bar Tanura writes that the word Talya in Aramaic means a child. So Avtalion means the father of children. So what does that have to do with being the Av Bezdin? So explains the Bar Tanura, because being an Av Bezdin didn't just mean that, you know, you had a fancy office and you were second in command of the Sanhedrin and that they put you on the stationery and everybody stood up when you walked into the room. No, it meant that you were in a position of responsibility. It meant that all of the children in Klal Yisrael were essentially your responsibility to make sure to take care of, and particularly Yisomim, particularly orphans, were ultimately the responsibility of the Av Bezdin in particular. In other words, the second in command in the Sanhedrin was responsible to make sure that all of the little orphan children in Klal Yisrael were being watched over and were being taken care of. So to indicate this role, which apparently Avtalion played to perfection, they called him Avtalion, father of the children. That's what the term itself, you know, means, that idea. So again, you know, whether that is the explanation or not of the name of Avtalion, it certainly fits with the image we have of Shmaya and Avtalion. And we're going to develop that image as we go through both this Mishnah as well as other stories about Shmaya and Avtalion. Very humble, very self-effacing, very loving people, you know, people who were willing to give to others and take care of others. According to this explanation of the Bar Tanura, even the name Avtalion itself implies, you know, his role as being the father of the orphans of Klal Yisrael, the one who would take care of them and make sure that all of their needs were provided for. Talking about Shmaya and Avtalion, again, just to give a little bit of an insight into the kind of people that they were, there's a very famous story about probably their most famous Talmud, which is told in the Gemara in Yuma, the famous student of Shmai Naftalion was Hillel HaZaken, the famous Hillel. And the story is told, again, it's a well-known story, that Hillel was extremely poor, and back in those days, in order to come into the Beis Medrash and learn, you had to pay money. So one day, Hillel shows up, he doesn't have the money to get into the Beis Medrash. They tell him, sorry, you know, no admission, you can't come in. So he decides he's going to climb up on the roof and listen to the shiur through the skylight. Who are the Rebbeim who are saying the shiur in that story? It's Shmai Naftalion. Right? The Shmai Naftalion who are the focus of this Mishnah. So Shmai Naftalion is saying the shiur, and Hillel is listening. It's a Friday afternoon, and he's listening, and he's absorbed, and he's absorbed, and he's absorbed, and he doesn't even realize that it's starting to snow. And it snows heavily on top of the roof, and he's frozen solid on the roof, staring into the skylight, trying to listen to the shiur. Shabbos morning, Shmai Naftalion come into the Beis Medrash, they're ready to get everything set up, and they look up and they say, you know, it's a funny thing, the sun isn't coming in through the skylight, you know, it seems like there's a shadow there, like something's blocking it. They look up, and lo and behold, there's the image of a person on top of the skylight. So I guess security back then was not quite what it is today in the various yeshivas. So they say, wait a minute, there's a person up there. They go, they find that Hillel HaZaken, and they bring him down. They light the fire themselves, and as the Mechalel Shabbos, in order to save Hillel HaZaken. Certainly Pikuach Nefesh, the guy was frozen up there, you know, the whole night. And they bring him back, you know, they personally take care of him, they make sure that he's taken care of, and he's sought out, and they give him what to drink, and all of that. And, you know, they conclude the story by saying, okay, this is certainly somebody, you know, you're Mechal Shabbos to save anybody, but certainly somebody of the caliber of Hillel HaZaken, it was worth it being Mechal Shabbos, you know, to enable to make sure that he would be able to be a part of the Beis Medrash. What's striking about the story from the point of view of Shmai Naftalion is that they don't delegate the taking care of Hillel HaZaken to somebody else. Presumably there were other Talmidim there. You know, they could have called Hatzalah, they could have sent somebody up, you know, to take Hillel HaZaken off the roof. They go personally, they light the fire, they're taking care of him. Again, what comes through in the story about Shmai Naftalion is this very paternal kind of character trait, which they both have. They're very hands-on. They care about people. They want to take care of people. And that seems very much to characterize the whole way that they deal with people in general. That comes through, that character trait comes through as well in the Mishnah which we're going to look at today. So again, back in Mishnah Yud, Shmai of Avtalion Kiblu Mehem, Shmai and Avtalion received the tradition from Yehuda ben Tabai and Shim ben Shetach. Shmaya Omer, Shmaya says, three things. Ehavis hamelacha, you should love work. Usna es harabonos, hate a position of power. Ve'altis vadal rishus, don't let the government know too well who you are. Don't get too buddy-buddy with the ruling powers, with the government. Many Mefarshim see all three of these ideas as being linked to one another. In other words, Shmai Naftalion is saying, lead a life of simplicity and don't look to be a big shot. Right? And that's really the common theme of all three of these ideas. Ehavas hamelacha, love labor. Right? In other words, back in the day, you could support yourself by taking on a position of prominence. It might be a rabbinic position of prominence, it might be a government position of prominence, but you could support yourself in that kind of way where you would have a lot of very good PR and a lot of, you know, you'd be elevated to a very high level in terms of people's esteem. Or you could be a simple kind of person who worked, you know, you made a parnasa from the work that you did, you worked hard, you took care of yourself, and, you know, you weren't in the limelight. Say Shmai and Avtalion, it's 1,000 times better to be that simple laborer than someone who is in this position of prominence, even though the simple laborer maybe, you know, doesn't have the same kind of prestige that the prominent individual has, but far better to be that simple laborer, to lead a simple life, you know, do what you have to do, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just love the hard work that goes together with doing that. And how does Tamalacha, Usnas HaRabanos, are two sides of the same coin. Love being a simple laborer, and hate the power that comes with a position of prominence and prestige. You know, run away from being in the limelight. Be a very simple person who, you know, avoids the limelight and, you know, just leads a simple kind of life. And that goes together, of course, with Altis Vadal Rishus. Don't make yourself too well known to the government. Meaning, you get too involved in government, sometimes it comes back to bite you. Not, just to be very, very clear over here, not in the sense that, you know, if you get very involved in government, you know, the government will, you know, that being involved in government per se is necessarily a problem, but in the sense that government is very fickle. And if you get involved with the ruling powers, you might be their friend today, but they can cast you down and step on you tomorrow. And certainly, you know, if you think about what we've described before as going on in Eretz Yisrael at that time, the rule of the Hellenists, you know, the ruthlessness with which Yanai HaMelech attacked the Rabbanon, this sense of being weary of government powers and how fickle they are and how they could be on your side one day but against you the next day is something that they probably knew from tremendous experience. Be a simple person, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do what's right, you know, work hard, and you know, try not to just get involved with politics to the extent to which you can, because it will just bring you down in the end of the day. That's the basic thrust of the idea that Shmaya is putting forward. Let's elaborate on some of those notions based on some ideas that the Mefarshim bring out over here. So let's start with the Havas HaMelacha. You should love labor, right? Unfortunately, this is an idea that seems to be going out of style, even in our own communities. But I'll just read to you from the Barat Anura's comments on this. On this statement, says the Bar Tanura, "Afilo yesh lo b'melech hisparnes." You should look to do work even if you don't need the money. Right? A person buys the lottery ticket and he's set for the rest of his life. Says the Bar Tanura, you should still work. Shahabatolo mevia lidei shiyamum, because when you're doing nothing, you get bored. And when you get bored, you do a lot of things you shouldn't be really doing, right? So we know that to be so true. You know, a person has to be occupied productively. And says Shmaya, that's the first thing you have to realize over here. And have a malacha. You should love the idea of working, because work keeps you out of trouble. You know, it's not even a question of making money. Work keeps you out of trouble. One idea. Second idea from the Bar Tanura. Snoas harabonos. Hate the idea of power and prestige, of being, of lording over others. So the Bar Tanura connects this to the previous statement about Ahavas HaMelech, and he says, "V'lo tomar," you should not say, "Adam gadol ani ugnai li la'asok b'melech." A person should never have the kind of attitude where he says, "Me do physical labor? I am much too chashuv, much too great to do that kind of thing." And he quotes the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. The Amalei Rav le Rav Kahana, Rav said to Rav Kahana, to his student, "Pshot nevelto b'shuka. If need be, stand in the middle of the marketplace and flay a carcass." In other words, if that's what you need to do, you know, if you need some money, you need to do something, and you look in the want ads and they need a carcass flayer, you know, in the middle of the marketplace, and that's what pays, so go and do that. The tol agra, and take the money for that. The lotema kahana ana, says Rav to Rav Kahana, and don't say, "How could I possibly do something like that? I'm kahana, I'm Rav Kahana. Gavra rabba ana, I'm a great person. Visanya be milta," and it's not pas, you know, for a person of my stature to go and do something so degrading in the middle of the street. No, it's not degrading. It was never degrading to work for a living. You know, sometimes, you know, they tell the story, of course, about the individual who, we won't say what class of person he was, but the individual who decided that he was going to finally learn Tanakh. Now they told him that this book called Tanakh, you know, he's not really sure what's in it, but he decided he's going to take a look. He opens it up and right away he closes it. They go over to him, he says, what happened? He said, I opened up and I saw right away the book of Job. And I said, okay, that's it. I have no interest in reading the rest of this book. Right? So that's not really the Jewish attitude. You're supposed to love working hard and, you know, just for its own sake. The Tiferes Yisrael, we saw Lifshitz, who wrote on the Mishnayos in the 1800s, adds very colorfully to this description, the same basic idea. He writes, a person should always be involved in doing something for Parnassah. And he adds as follows. A person can work physically. A person can make his money work for him through business. Or you could use your brain and teach others. The Tana is advising that a person should learn how to do something in order to make a parnasa from it. Because if you love what you do, you'll do it well, and you'll do it, and it will seem easier for you to do this. This, according to the Tiferes Yisrael, this is a very basic principle which Shmaya is teaching us over here, which is a fundamental principle in terms of, you know, dealing with younger people, especially who are trying to figure out what they want to do with life, or for that matter, older people who are trying to figure out, you know, what they should do with life. Says Shmaya, whatever it is that you decide to do professionally, you should love it. You should enjoy it. Ehavis hamelacha. Love that which you do. Because if you love what you do, or at least you don't dislike too much what you do, you'll do it well, more often than not, and it won't bother you so much that you're doing it. If you hate accounting, but you figure that it's really a great profession, you know, it's very nice, it pays well, but I hate it, you know, it's very hard to do something you hate for 50 years, right? I mean, yeah, people do it. But, you know, wouldn't it be nicer to do something that maybe pays a little bit less, but you enjoy doing, you know, you'll enjoy doing that for 50 years. So this is a very basic idea that resonates to this day. You know, if a person is trying to figure out what they should do in life, you know, something important is to try to figure out something that you enjoy doing and try to find some way to make money off of that thing which you enjoy doing. Again, this doesn't lend itself to everything. You know, a kid comes and says, you know, I really want to be an astronaut, you know, so at this point in our existence, I don't know if that's really like a Parnassa track, you know, that, you know, you major in being an astronaut in college, okay, you know, could be, but, you know, but other than that, if you can find some way of you know, combining what you love with what you do as a profession, so that's what the Tiferes Yisrael says, that's what Shmaya is saying is so important over here. And then he adds the following. You know, we see this with our own eyes every day. We see people who work really, really hard physically, like sailors. They whistle while they work. They sing while they work. Because, you know, again, can you say they enjoy it? You know, but the whole experience, I'm sure they're hard parts of the work that they're doing, but there's something enjoyable about the work, and they can sing while doing the work in order to take away some of the sting that the hard work itself possesses. So love what you do, says the Tiferes Yisrael.
Really clear that the sailors really
Oh, yeah?
You have to
interesting. So, again, the Tiferes Yisrael is writing in the 1800s, and the way he describes it is Ro'inu B'chol Yom. As we see this all the time. Where he saw this all the time, I don't know. I don't know if he hung out at the docks. But you know, he's describing something that he hadn't just heard secondhand. He's describing something that he saw with his own eyes. So, again, I don't know enough about the history of sailing in the 1800s. Yeah.
Yeah. Which
is our cancer.
Right.
So it's something that is still true. I don't know about. Right. It's interesting. Yeah. So that's he writes. He says that, but he relates it to the idea of enjoying your work. In other words, you know, you should, you know, they can even sing while they're engaged in this heavy physical labor, and that's the ahavas hamelacha that they're going through. There's a very beautiful pshat that Reb Chaim Volozhin in his Ruach Chaim gives on this statement of Shmaya. Again, Shmaya says, "Ehavis hamelacha usnoes harabonos." Right. So, as we saw before, love the idea of being a simple laborer. You know, just love working for its own sake. You know, work shouldn't be a dirty word. It should be something that a person embraces. Or, according to Tiferes Yisrael, try to work at something that you love. And snoas harabonos, you know, hate the idea, not of the rabbinate, hopefully, but hate the idea of lording over other people. You know, if your whole goal in life is just to get to a certain position so you can flaunt that you have this power and prestige, that's not good. You know, that's ultimately going to come back to bite you. Many of the Mefarshim over here quote the Maimer Chazal that indicate that Yosef HaTzadik passed away before the rest of his brothers because he found himself in a position of prominence. As Chazal say, that of all the brothers, Yosef died first, even though, of course, he was one of the youngest, you know, of all the brothers. But nonetheless, he died first because he was in this position of Rabbanus. You know, he was in this position of power and prominence, and ultimately that comes back to bite you. Again, those who are in a position of power and prominence know that, you know, it may come with power and prominence, but it also comes with ulcers, you know, that sometimes goes along with the power and the prominence, you know. So in a very, very simple sense, not even, you know, invoking divine punishment or anything like that, you know, a person in that kind of position very often can just be very sick, you know, by virtue of the tirdas, you know, the difficulties that the person has to deal with. But the Reb Chaim Volozhin has an interesting juxtaposition of these two ideas. And he says, you know, when it comes to a rabbinic position specifically, and again, Reb Chaim Volozhin was the Rav and a Rosh Yeshiva. He was the Rav of the town of Volozhin, and he was the founder and the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Volozhin. So, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, when a person, you know, there's sometimes that a person, for whatever reason, feels that he needs to take that position of prominence. I mean, the truth is, again, had Reb Chaim Volozhin been a laborer in the town of Volozhin, but a massive Talmud Chacham, he still probably would not have had the kind of influence, the kind of hashpa that he had as the Rav of Volozhin and the Rosh Yeshiva of the Yeshiva of Volozhin. Some, you know, there are upsides to being in a position of prominence. The kind of influence that a person can have is unparalleled. But even then, said Reb Chaim Volozhin, you have to be very, very careful. You have to, when it comes to Rabbanus, you have to love the Melacha. What's the Melacha? Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, the substance of being in a position of prominence in the Jewish community is called the Melacha. Why are you a Rav? Because you like learning, because you like teaching, because you like doing chasadim to people. That's the Melacha. Usnoes harabonus. But all of the other aspects of the rabbinate, of being a Rosh Yeshiva, you know, the pride, the prominence, the ability, you know, to lord over people, you know, the concept that you walk into a room and everybody stands up when you walk into the room, you should hate that stuff, you know. It's impossible to separate the two. It's a package deal. You know, if a person's going to be a Rav or Rosh Yeshiva, something of that nature, you know, it's going to come with a lot of good things that the person is doing, but also a lot of power and prestige. Do what you can to love the Melacha aspect of being a Rav and a Rosh Yeshiva, to love, you know, the substance of what you're doing, the teaching, the learning, the chesed, you know, whatever it happens to be, the psak halacha, but, you know, all of the trappings of the position should be something that you run away from, you know, and try to tolerate at best, you know, but they shouldn't be an important part of what you're doing. The last section of Shmaya's statement, Realtis Fadala Rishus, the vast majority of Mefarshim understand the way we outlined it before, don't become, as article translates it, don't become overly familiar with the government. You know, you get involved with the government position, you may be on top today, but, you know, tomorrow the administration turns over. And, you know, look, we live in a democracy. If the administration turns over, the worst thing that happens is you're out of a job. You know, back in the ancient world, if the administration turned over, you could be out of a head. You know, it was a different state of affairs back in the day. So you know, one way or the other, you know, even being out of a job just because the current turn, you know, is not a good thing. But certainly losing your head over a change of administration is not something desirable. So don't get too involved in the government if you can avoid it. There's a very interesting alternative explanation which is given by the Tiferes Yisrael. And this, I think, is very relevant, really, to all of us, even though, it's not the standard interpretation. So the Tiferes Yisrael links Altis Vadal Rishus with Ehavis HaMelacha. Love work, but don't become overly familiar with Rishus. So what's Rishus? So up until now, we've translated Rishus as the government. Don't get too involved with the government. Says it to Tiferes Yisrael as follows: Kisha hutzrachto lispaneis b'masa umatan. If you do get involved in business, right, have a samelacha, al koponim lo yiyeh lecha shum hakara ve'esek behalva'a. You may get involved in business, but stay away from taking out loans. Be careful with loaning money from people. V'hainu bein lilavos. Ola halavos, either borrowing money or lending money. Be careful with this. Right, so it is a mitzvah, of course, to lend money to somebody who needs it. What he's talking about over here is the lending of money in a business context. In other words, you're putting out money, you're taking in money, you're financing something. In other words, be careful with how much of that you do. The benkach ubenkach, yistar tamid mehefsed hakovod. You're going to end up losing kavod over. You're going to lose, you know, your honor over lending or borrowing. That's certainly true if you're a borrower, but even if you're a lender, you know, what happens when the money doesn't come back? You know, you may end up investing in some kind of great deal, and then all of a sudden it turns out that the great deal wasn't such a great deal. You know, you could lose your shirt over that. V'chein amru chazal. As the Gemara says in Pesachim, Kol Ashroi, Safek Asa, Safek Lo Asa. Whenever you get involved in a loan of any sort, maybe you'll see the money, maybe you won't see the money. So says the Tiferes Yisrael, be very, very careful about getting involved in a business sense, in, you know, investing too much money in something, or borrowing money when you really don't have the ability to pay back easily, it's not necessarily going to end well. Apparently, the Tiferes Yisrael understands rishus in the sense of something which is voluntary, and, you know, borrowing funds or laying out funds is something that goes beyond the bare necessities of having to provide for yourself. In other words, you know, if you make money to be able to provide for your bare necessities, great. You're borrowing a lot of extra money for frills. Be very, very careful with that. Altis vadala rishus. Don't get involved in extraneous things, you know, above and beyond your basic needs, which are going to cause you to take out loans, which may come back to bite you. That is incredibly contemporary advice. And What's that? Well, this is right. This is even before credit cards, right? Unfortunately, we have an attitude in our society that, you know, you don't really need money. You just need a piece of plastic, and you keep swiping it, and somehow magically you're able to get everything that you want until it comes time to actually pay the credit card bill, right? So many people get themselves into tremendous difficulties because of this. And again, it's according to the Tiferes Yisrael, it's Shmaya speaking about the importance of a relatively simple life. You earn money, you spend the money on the things that you need, and you don't start spending money that you don't have on things that you don't need. That ultimately will get the person into a lot of trouble, you know, in the end of the day. Al tisfadal reshus, don't get involved in extras, you know, in reshus, and things that you don't really, really need, because if you're going to take out money for those things and then all of a sudden find out that you don't have the money to pay it back, you'll find yourself in a very, very difficult situation, which may be difficult to dig yourself out of that predicament. Okay, we will, Be'ezit Hashem, pick up next week. We'll be back on next week with Avtalia, the second half of this duo, you know, the Nasi and the Avezdin. Until then, we wish everybody a pleasant week.
Thank you.